Welcome to Sunday Talks from Center for Spiritual Living, Minneapolis. Each week, we share practical new thought wisdom to support spiritual growth, healing, and inspired living. Our theme this month is whole no matter what. This month, we remember that wholeness is not something we have to choose, earn, or become worthy of. It's already the truth of who we are. As Ernest Holmes reminds us, there is something within each one of us that partakes of the universal wholeness, and nothing can change the true nature of the soul. Our talk today is by Reverend Joanne Biewald. Ernest Holmes writes that our word does not restore wholeness. It reveals it, and yet many of us don't feel whole. We begin by embracing the truth that there are no bad parts of us. Okay, take a deep breath and read that one again. Today, we are reminded that every part of you deserves the acknowledgement and honor. And now, Reverend Joanne Biewald.
Thank you. Well, welcome, everybody. Not everybody slept in after the big doings yesterday. I spent the night in Hinckley after our celebration, and so I drove in this morning, and that was interesting. Nobody's on the road. That's kind of fun. Thank you, David, for that great music, and I think it works real well with our message today. Thank you for the reading, Leif. That was lovely. When we had our prac class, we read one of Mark Nepo's book. I can't remember which one it was, but my students loved the book. I did not so much. To me, he was a little bit too deep, and thankfully my students were too, so they got it, whether or not I did or not. But, and thank you, Debbie, for all you do, always. So this is a new month, July. Our theme for this month is whole no matter what. You know, we know we're whole because we are one with that power that created everything and everyone. It experiences life through us. So we are indeed whole. We're like a drop in the ocean of spirit, and we are one with it. So we know we're whole, but somehow we kind of like to beat up on ourselves a little bit and look at those things that we think are bad about us. And this is what we're talking about today. As a matter of fact, the message for today is entitled No Bad Parts. Because even though we sometimes look at things in our life and then I don't like that about me, let's sweep that one under the rug so nobody else sees it. I know it's there, but let me just sweep it under the rug. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about today. And the idea that every part of us deserves to be acknowledged, recognized, acknowledged. And that will move us along on a good path if we do that. So I'm going to ask a contemplative question to begin with, and that is, what would my life look like if I honored and loved all of my parts, even those parts I don't like? What would my life look like that? I mean, wouldn't that be nice? Because we've talked about this before, or we talk about it, I guess, more in the prison program, about forgiveness. How, you know, we can forgive somebody else a little bit more easily sometimes than we can forgive ourselves. We kind of tend to want to beat up on ourselves. And what would our life look like if we honored and loved even the parts that we think are maybe not so good? Ernest Holmes says, the road to self-discovery often calls for a clearing away of the underbrush of ignorance, fear, superstition, and a sense of isolation, which have made us feel that we are unworthy and lost. In the divine providence of good, salvation is unnecessary, but self-discovery is essential. Salvation is unnecessary. In Ernest Holmes' What We Believe, that's, I think, listed in almost all the monthly issues of Science of Mind, one of the things he says, we believe in the eternality, the immortality, and the continuity of the soul forever. In other words, we don't worry about it. We don't try to proselytize. We don't find people and say, wait a minute, you don't believe like I believe, you're going to burn in hell. We got to change your mind about what you believe. We don't do that because we believe in the immortality of everybody's soul. What a wonderful, and I came from a place where we worried a lot about everybody's soul that wasn't in our little brick building was in jeopardy. You know, even we were German Lutherans, there were Swedish Lutherans in town, and we weren't really at all sure about their salvation because, you know, they believed in things like they could go to lodges, and obviously that's not biblical. So, everybody's in jeopardy, and we need to be out there saving souls. And, you know, so many particularly the Christian churches are kind of caught up in that. We got to go out and save these souls. But it is salvation, Holmes says, is unnecessary, but self-discovery is essential. Let's look at us. Look what we're beating up ourselves about. What's going on in my life? That's what's essential. Things like, why am I living my life the way I'm living? Take a look at it. And we hear this so much in the prisons. It's just uplifting to hear. I think we get the cream of the crop in the circles that we have in prisons because they're people who want to change the way that they've lived. And so many of the inmates are really examining their souls. How do I want to live? Who do I want to be? Why am I living my life this way? And what is my reason for being? What is my purpose? And I belong to a book club in our Optimist Club, and that we're reading a book now that really pounds that one home. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Think about these things. And we know that we are inherently whole, perfect, and complete because we are one with that perfect power, our Creator that made us, and we are a little drop in that ocean of spirit. We know we're whole, perfect, and complete, but how easy it is to forget that. And when we do slip up and we do have these situations in our life that we don't like and we try and hide them, we do it. This is kind of our makeup. And yet these are the things we have to examine. What's my life all about? Why am I doing these things? And even though we know we're perfect, whole, and complete, sometimes I think we have to step back and take a new perspective of how we're living our lives. And so that's what we're talking about today. And I'm going to have three discussion points that I'm going to talk about. And the first one is, our word does not restore wholeness, it reveals it. We aren't in charge of wholeness, we're already whole. But boy, does that get covered up with a lot of gunk sometime, that wholeness? And what we are here to do is remove that gunk and reveal that wholeness that is really ours. We know that our inherent nature is wholeness, and yet as children, we heard it from our family, we heard it from our religion, we heard it from our schools, we heard it from our local culture, our world culture. You know, you're kind of a bad person. You got to have take a different look at your life. You're not that good. And we learned that certain things about us, those good things, get rewarded, and the bad things get punished. So the tendency is, let's take those bad things, let's just brush them under the rug and not look at them. Let's hide them because I know what they are. I don't want to look at them, and I sure don't want anybody else to see them either. When I was married to my first husband, he was irresponsible, he was an alcoholic, and he was abusive, physically and mentally and the whole gamut. And yet I hung in there, and when I expressed my anger with him or my frustration or my, you know, couldn't we do this differently and have a better life or something? I wasn't encouraged to share those things. And sometimes that discouragement came with a little physical help. And so I learned to protect myself. Just zip it. Don't say those things you're thinking. Don't share that because it's dangerous. I had to protect myself. And what happens after a while, what happened to me, number one, I think when I stuffed all that stuff, it came out in different, and it always will. It's not going to stay there. It's going to come and get you. And it got me in the form of migraine headaches. And I suffered for years with migraine headaches. Just, it was incapacitating. And so that was one way. But the other thing that happened is that I no longer recognized when I was angry. I didn't even recognize it. I was so adept at shoving it down there and not looking at it. I really didn't. It was subconscious. I didn't realize I was angry. And to this day, I have difficulty. You know, if something happens that irritates or really angers me, I don't know it until about 3 o'clock in the morning. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I'm mad. I'm mad then, and then I realize, whoa, that really irritated me. I think, you know, something in my subconscious is saying, don't let this go, deal with it. So I have learned, if and when that happens, that I don't lay in bed there and mull it around. I get up, sit down with a piece of paper and pencil, and I start writing. Here's why I'm angry. Here's how I feel, and some of this stuff is pretty ugly. I call it diarrhea of the pencil. And I just let it out until usually what happens is I let that anger out. And as I let it out, actually it tends to end up with a prayer. I kind of, my training in this philosophy tells me, even though I had that anger and that nastiness, even though that happened, I know that this can be used for good and end up with a blessing for whoever irritated me or whatever the situation was, and I can move on with life. So it's important, I think, that we actually look at these things that we consider bad. When I was going through this with my first husband, I was also going to see this minister for counseling because I needed all the help I could get. And he said to me, well, you know, how are you dealing with this anger toward him? I said, anger? Oh, I don't have any anger. I'm sad. I'm a little discouraged. I'm afraid. But anger, I didn't feel any anger. And I never saw anger in the home that I grew up. We were German. We didn't do anger. You know, I don't know what Mom and Dad did with it, but I never saw it, never saw anger expressed. And so I had no idea how to deal with this anger part of my life. And the minister said, now, if you could say anything or do anything in this situation with your husband and you were safe, he couldn't hurt you, what do you think you might do? How could you handle that? I thought, oh, well, let's see, we're in the kitchen. He's being a jerk. He's sitting at the kitchen table. On the table, there's this bottle of whiskey. It's not a glass bottle of whiskey. It's a plastic bottle of whiskey. And as he's being a jerk, I just go over there and I take his head and I tip it back and I take that bottle of plastic whiskey and I just squeeze it into his throat, down his throat. I said, this is what you want, right? This is what you want in life. And the minister says, well, don't you think if you did that, you know, he could actually kill him? I said, probably. Yeah, probably. And he said, do you think you could be a little angry? Just maybe there was a little anger there. What a revelation. What a revelation that was to me I was actually angry. And so once we uncover that business, that, you know, I realized that bad thing about me was not serving my highest and best purpose. But instead of saying, okay, I'm bad because I'm a stuffer, maybe we can learn how to use that. Understand that I was doing that to protect myself, period. So that leads us to the second point, discussion point, which is rather than focus on our bad parts, what if instead we start from the premise we are already whole, just as we are? What if we start with that premise? Because it is so tempting to beat ourselves up. So we want to think about this idea. We are created by this perfect, whole, and complete higher power. So therefore, we too, and it experiences life in, through, and as us. So we too are perfect, whole, and complete. There's an author by the name of Richard Schwartz, and he wrote a book called No Bad Parts. And he writes that by listening to our troubled parts rather than fighting them, we might discover they have their own stories to tell about how they took protective roles to save or protect us. And that's exactly what happened to me. He was writing my story. That business about stuffing things I did to protect myself. So the third point I'm going to touch on today is by honoring and listening to the parts we considered bad, we can change our perspective. We can develop a different relationship to them. Instead of shoving them under the rug, let's take a look at another way to look at this. By admitting it, facing these parts that we may have judged as being bad. We had a situation in our prison circles where this one guy was talking to us about who he was. He said, I was a terrible guy. He said, I was a drug dealer, I was a drug user, cheated on my wife. He said, there was no good thing about me. I was just a jerk, just a bad person. Well, of course, some of those activities landed him in prison, and there he came to himself. You know, the story of the prodigal son left this lovely home and goes and spends all his money, ends up living with the pigs, eating their food, and then it said, and he came to himself. And that's what this happened to this guy when he got in prison. And so many guys, when they get into prison, they're sober for the first time. And they've got some tools, like the tool we give them, the circle that we bring in. And there are all kinds of classes they can take. So this guy said, so when I got in there and realized, that's not the person I want to be. That's not who I am. I am not a cheater. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not a drug user. That is part of my past. Just wash that, get it out of the way. And what do I want to do? So he started taking classes, and his intention is to become a counselor or a chaplain or a minister or something like that, because he said, I can go to the people who are living the way I was living, and I can relate to them. And I can help them. And that's what he said, a new intention. And that's what we can do. Instead of saying, I'm just this bad person because look at all the bad stuff I did. Let's look at those things. Can we learn a lesson from these things? Can we heal from them? Can we change our perception? So by facing these bad parts, we can realize they've helped us. They've served as a lesson learned, or just served as a protection for us. And these are the things that I would encourage all of us to take a look at today. Look at these things and see what else we can uncover about ourselves to let that wholeness really be revealed, because we know the wholeness is already there. So think about this a little bit. What in your life might you be sweeping under the rug? What might you be trying to hide, not only from yourself, but you certainly don't want anybody else to know about these bad things about you? Think about them, and you might want to journal about them. Sit down with a pencil instead of at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do it when you're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and write down, yeah, these are the things I've labeled as bad, and let me take a look at them and see, maybe that was a lesson learned that I can put to use, or maybe I can realize, hey, that was just me trying to protect myself, and that's okay too. Let's just say, for instance, you had an inner critic that was telling you things like, you know, you're just too big for your britches. Why are you sticking your neck out like that? That's difficult. You're not smart enough for that. You know, this inner critic that's telling you this stuff. And maybe if we didn't do that, if we didn't judge that, if we didn't let that happen, maybe that inner critic could turn out to be a cheerleader that says, hey, give that a shot. You're smart enough. Try it. Give it a try. And have that part of us speak to us. Don't be sweeping stuff under the rug saying that's no good. Take a look at it and say, well, maybe what that inner critic is looking for is something positive. Maybe I need to be open to hearing a positive message. So for a little homework this week, I would say, you know, anytime you're coming to a decision that you have to make, you might want to just appreciate each voice that's coming to you. Appreciate each one and remember that there are no bad parts. It's the way, it's our perspective of them. So with that, I would invite you to relax where you're sitting and take a deep breath. And I'm going to do a spiritual mind treatment, which is an affirmative prayer. And the purpose of this particular spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer is to learn to respect and appreciate all of ourselves, even those things that we have labeled bad. So I know there's a one power in the universe, and that power is whole, perfect, and complete. It is all good, and it is a power that has the perfect solution to any perceived dilemma in my life. And I know I'm one with that very power that created everything and everyone. And even though in the past I might have tended to judge some of these parts as being bad and so tried to hide them or deny them, and even though I may have learned that behavior from my family and society, I now know that by denying things like that, that doesn't serve me. I know that some of those seemingly bad things I did to survive. Some of those seemingly bad things were learning lessons that I can take out and use positively in the world, now that I've come to myself. I can reach out